go, and they, God does all the miraculous signs and wonders and sends the plagues and all these things. And finally, Pharaoh says, take them, man, leave. Take these million-plus people and get out of my hair. I'm tired of the wrath of God. Leave. And we see them leaving, and they get through that. And of course, we see where God parts the Red Sea, and they walk on the dry land, and they get to the place, to the edge of the promise where God had for them. There's an edge of the promise that God has for them. And the question today is this: possessing or retreating, your choice. I want to talk to you about this. Possessing or retreating, your choice. God has a land of promise for every one of us. There's a place, there's a destiny that you and I are called to live in, but it's up to you and I. We have to make a decision. Just like our salvation is a free gift of God, it's still, yeah, I have to make a decision that I'm going to unwrap that gift. I'm going to receive that gift for myself. And today we have to ask that same question. When it comes to enjoying God's best, possessing or retreating, it's your choice. Are you going to possess the land that God has for you and your family, for you and your work, where you are? Are you going to possess what God has for you and your destiny, or are you going to retreat and go back to the same thing day in, day out, the place you've been living? There's a place of promise that God has for you. The question is, will you possess or will you retreat? We see the children of Israel, they got to the edge of the promised land, and because of some wrong decisions they made in their life at this point, they spent 40 more years wandering in the desert. And why is that? Because wrong decisions lead to what? 40 years of wilderness time, man. They spent 40 years wandering around the wilderness because of the wrong decisions they had made. There's a thing we have to choose in our life. Are you going to run to God or are you going to run from Him? That's the question we have to ask. Are you going to run to God or are you going to run from Him? I'll be honest with you and tell you this. In my life, I spent a lot of time running from God. I remember it was a time earlier in my life, I spent a lot of time running from God, His call in my life, just even a relationship with Him the way I should. And I remember when I made a decision for Christ, I said, God, I've spent a lot of time running from You. I said, but now I'm making declared in my heart. No one told me this. I just made it something in my heart. I remember praying to You all through this prayer. I said, God, no longer will I run from You, but now I want to run to You. I want to run to You for everything that I have, God, for everything that I need. I made a decision. I was going to run to God. And God, I can't do it on my own. And I'm going to quit trying to do it on my own. I'm going to yield my life to You. And I would tell you, it changed my life. It changed my life. My perspective, you know, began to change. I began to see things differently. So I quit running from God and said, God, I don't want to run from You. I want to run to You. I spent a lot of time running from Him, but now I'm going to run to You, Lord. And the question is this: what are you doing today? Are you running to God or are you running from God? Well, Pastor, I'm in church. Well, you know, I spent a lot of time in church. I grew up in church. I was there on Sunday morning, but I spent a lot of time running from God, even while I was in church, attending church. And so just because we attend church doesn't mean that we're running to God. For many of you, it can be a step. Being here this morning was a big step for you to take a step toward God and saying, you know what? I know that I need to be getting myself right in my relationship with Christ. I know there's something, help that I need in my life. And some of you are here today, and maybe you being here is a first step to you running to God today. So I don't want to discount that. But you can also be here and say, you know what? I'm also hardening my heart to what God has for me, my destiny. And the question is, are you hardening your heart or are you saying, yes, God, I want to possess. I don't want to retreat. I don't want to hear anybody in my family say, retreat. We're going forward. Today we're going to look in Numbers chapter 13. We're looking at Numbers 13 and chapter 14 today, our text, as we see the children of Israel. They've come to this point where they have retreated out of and been delivered out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're at the edge of the promised land that God has for them. And let's see, we'll pick it up in chapter 1 of verse 13. This is not on your overhead, so I want you to listen to it, okay? If you get your Bibles, you can follow along. The rest of our scriptures will be on the overhead, but I want you to listen to this opening scripture today as I read it to you. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone, a leader among them. First of all, let's stop right there. It says, I am giving. How many know that God is a giver? Look at what he says. I am giving. Boy, isn't our God a giving God? If you're here today and think, man, my God's a taker. If I come to church, I got to give this. I got to do that. Listen. He first what? He first gave his only begotten son. But even as he gave his only son for you and I, we see throughout scripture time and time again that our God is a giving God. He said, I'm giving the children of Israel this land. And verse 3 says, so Moses sent them from the wilderness to Paran according to the commands of the Lord and all of the men who were the heads of the children of Israel. Then it goes on to name all these men. We'll skip that and pick it up in verse 23. Now he's assigned all these 12 guys. They're going to go out, these spies, and he told them what to look for. In verse 23, you pick it up, it says, and they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. Now we see right here, it's talking about the spies are in the land. They've been spying out the land. And it says that they, when he picked up a cluster of grapes, how many know that a cluster of grapes is really not that heavy? I don't know if you've ever seen a cluster of grapes. It's really not that heavy. But this land was such a blessed land, it said that they took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. So we're talking about some big grapes here. They had to strap them on a pole and carry them between them. So we're talking about a land, not just any land here. We're not talking about just, you know, some back spot on the back 40 here, you know, that's a barren land nobody wants. You can have this, you know. I guess, you know, I think our parents were real good there. Parents sometimes have a lot of land. They say, all right, kids, you can have this back 40 here. Well, Dad and I will give this to you. And of course, you go back there, and there's nothing grows back there. That's why they want to give the land to you. They can't grow any harvest, can't grow anything. People like to give away that kind of stuff, don't they? But, you know, God is not that way. God doesn't give over leftovers. God doesn't give just anything away. He gives away the best to his children. And it proves it right here. He said, man, it took just two men to carry one cluster of grapes. He's talking about an abundance land, a fruitful land where the crops and the fruit are so plentiful, so big, it's beyond their comprehension. Why else would they bring it back? They want to prove they will never believe the size of this fruit. What these spies are saying, they'll never believe how big this fruit was. We got to take back some of this fruit and prove them and show them how big the fruit is in this land. And it goes on to do this, and it says the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because there was a cluster there. And we pick it up. Let's pick it down to verse 27. And then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us, Moses. And this is the spies coming back talking to Moses. It truly flows with milk and honey, and it is very fruitful. But listen to verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in that land, the south of the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all the Ites that are there. They dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell there by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people down before Moses. And, of course, it goes on to talk about what Caleb said. Man, we can do this before God. And we're going to talk about Caleb next week. We'll talk about Joshua next week. Of course, Joshua and Caleb bring a good report and say, man, we are more than able through God's help to do this thing. But we see where the rest of the 10 spies were fearful as they come across these things, these obstacles in their way. And so let's pick it up today in that. Number one, God's desire for the future of the children of Israel. And when we look at the children of Israel, we see that God is a mirror of us. Do you realize that? When we talk about the children of Israel, that's a foreshadowing of us in the body of Christ. So when we talk about the children of Israel and what God did to deliver them there, it also relates to our life, the relationship that God has for you and I. God's desire for the future of the children of Israel as well as our own. A, God wanted to give the Israelites the land. They simply needed to possess it. God wanted to give them the land. All they had to simply do was possess it. Now, this is a big thing because we realize this, that God is a giver. All they had to simply do was possess the land. God brought them through the promise. God had brought them. He'd kept his word. He'd done all these signs, all these wonders. He had parted the Red Sea. I mean, he had defeated Pharaoh's army. He had brought, you know, water from the rock. He had sent manna from heaven to feed them. I mean, God was doing signs and wonders. That's why today that the word of God talks about chasing after signs and wonders, because signs and wonders don't always have a heart change in our life. Sometimes we see a lot of signs and wonders. Those things are needed. But if we just chase after signs and wonders, are we really getting a heart change? Because they had something wrong with their life here. There was not a heart change that was taking place. God had done signs and wonders to prove who he was to them, but yet they had hardened their heart to God. And they had not believed in their heart. The first obstacle they came against, everything that happened, they'd always want to turn back, and they'd always want to go back. And here is God saying this. He says, listen, I'm going to give you the land. All you got to do is possess it. Now, what better deal is there than that? Here it is. All you got to do is possess the land. No, we can't do it. B, God wanted the Israelites to enjoy the best of the land he was setting up for them, a dynamic future. Listen, God has a dynamic future he wants for you and for me. He has a destiny for your life, for my life. But God was wanting to give them a dynamic future. He had fruit there they had never seen. They had a harvest that was going to come to them they had never seen. Man, it was a land of milk and honey. It was flowing with things they could never even imagine what God was going to prosper them there, the things they were going to experience there. God had the best. Man, he had a dynamic future set up for them. They had just left slavery, a place of bondage, a place of a defeat, a place of malnutrition, a place of being whipped, a place of being beat, a place of being ruled over by the thumb, by Pharaoh, a place of working from sun up to sundown for somebody else and not for your family. I mean, they were in bondage, and God had delivered them from that to saying, you know what, I'm going to give you this exact opposite. Just as bad as that was to you, just as good I'm going to give it to you now. How many know our ladder shall be greater? Where God talks about it, he says, man, your ladder will be greater than your past. So I'll tell you, you listen to this. What if you're going through in your life, you know that God has a promise for you. God has a land for you, a blessing. God has a place, and it may seem like you're enslaved to a lot of things in your life, and you've gone through a lot of bad things, and man, am I ever going to see the brighter day? Yes, you will. But you got to learn, no, I'm going to possess the land that God has given me. I'm going to walk in the promise. I'm going to not allow my family to be a slave to the sin. I'm not going to allow my family to be a slave to the past. I'm allowing myself to say, you know what, God has a future for me. Not just any future, God has a dynamic future. God has a destiny for you and your family, for your children. So I look out today and I see teenagers, I see the children in our preschool, in our nursery, and elementary. I mean, I see a great future for Destiny Church and for the Fort State area. I see missionaries, I see pastors, I see youth pastors, I see teachers, I see doctors, I see lawyers, I see those businessmen and women who are working and making a difference. They're going to learn what it means to make a difference in this community and have a God-given destiny. God is a dynamic future he has for you. Look what it says here in overhead in Numbers 13:27. It says, we went to the land which they had sent us, and oh, it doesn't flow with milk and honey. Just look at this fruit. Wow. God wants to bless you beyond what you can think or imagine. Let's read Jeremiah 29:11. It says this. This is the promise God has for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know today, God has plans to prosper you and your family. He wants to give you a hope for the future. He has not got a plan to harm your life. If you're here today thinking, man, I got a lot of harm in my way. I've come across a lot of harm. I say that God is not wanting to harm you today. God is wanting to prosper you. He has a place for you. But sometimes it takes us going through and seeing past the harm we've gone through, getting past the harm we've gone through in our life, the disappointments we've had in our life, the hurt we've had against us, things people have spoken against you or have done to you. And see, no, God has a better plan for my life. And I'm going to refuse to stay right here. I'm going to refuse to live in this harm. And I'm going to step out and say, God, you are not going to harm me. But God, I give my life totally to you. 100% God, I give to you because you want to prosper me. You have success for my life. You have a land that you want me to possess. And for me and my family, we're going to do that. So I have to accept that. Here's a plan for you and your family. See, we see God wanted the Israelites to be successful as they lived in dependency upon him. He had success for them, but he was also teaching them to be dependent upon him. Because everywhere they were going, they didn't have the food. They had to depend upon God to supply their everyday needs. And he did, didn't he? Every day he fed them. He sent the water they needed when it was needed. He did everything they had in need. He did. When it came to a time when it seemed like there was nowhere else to go, he parted the waters and let them walk upon the dry ground. I mean, God was continually doing miracle after miracle after miracle in their life. But they were living, you know what? They had to live in dependency upon him wholly, heartedly. Everything they did, they had to be, you know what, God? If you don't do it, then I can't make it. God, if you don't supply, we're going to starve. If God, if you don't take us out of this, we're going to die. God, if you don't do, you know what? They were totally dependent upon God. And that was okay because God had them exactly where he wanted them. And that's exactly where he wants you and I to be, totally dependent upon him. That's part of what we talked about this last series and living in the zone. We just got through with that. We're talking to God that I have to get to live in this place where I am totally dependent upon you for everything. I don't live in my own ability. And some of us do that, but we wait until there's no money in the bank before we do that. We wait until our health is shot before we do that. And God's saying, you know what? If we'll learn to live in this place, we're saying, God, I'm totally dependent upon you no matter what. I wonder how much do we have to go through. God, all right, I got a bad report from the doctor. God, it's, you know what? It's okay. It's God, my health is in your hands. You're going to take care of me. God, my finances aren't where they should be, but God, it's okay because I've been faithful in my giving, and your word says that you're going to take care of my needs, and God, it's going to be okay. My business is going to be all right. My business will bounce back. It's going to be okay because, God, you're going to sustain me. You're going to take care of me because I am living according to the word of the Lord. He had them. Read Psalms 37. So we look at it here on the overhead. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy a safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Enjoy the safe pastures. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. As we delight in the Lord, as we trust in him, then he gives us the desires of our heart. We see it throughout Scripture. God wants us to live dependent upon him. The second question we're going to ask today is this: what kept the Israelites from possessing the promised land? Because today, I believe that many of us at this point in our life, how many of us have been to the edge of the promise and we just only to see ourselves fail and go back to where we came from? How many of us have been to the edge of, you know what, a breakthrough in our life? I've been there before in my life when I felt like I was on the edge of a breakthrough only to see myself fall back and not get the breakthrough I need in my life. This is a breakthrough that God has for you. At the heart of God, he has you at a breakthrough moment. The very heart of God, he longs to see you and your family and you and you personally to have a personal breakthrough in your life where you walk in a place with him that you've never been before. And it's a blessed place. It's a place of possessing the ground, the destiny that he has for your life. But what keeps us from doing this? What keeps us from going back? What keeps us from going ahead? What kept the Israelites from possessing the promised land? A, here we see it had wrong perspective. They had a wrong perspective. Numbers 13:28 says this: but the people who lived there are powerful. This is what the spies were saying. They came back and they've already carried the big fruit. They've already seen the milk and honey. They already talked about how nice the land was, but now listen to their perspective on it. But the people who lived there are powerful. And the cities and fortitude are very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Wow. They were saying what? They said, man, this thing, it's good fruit, but man, the people there are big. Look at the perspective it had. God have already done so many things. I mean, can you imagine these people looking any bigger to them than having their back up against the Red Sea on one side and the other side having all these chariots coming at you with horses and Pharaoh's army coming to kill you? I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that, folks. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And God was what? He parsed the Red Sea and allows them to walk out on dry ground, stops up with a pillar, a cloud of fire that stops Pharaoh's army and allows them time to walk through. And then when they get through on dry ground, he removes the fire. The army takes off on the dry land, and God has the waters close and kill out the army. I mean, you're talking about provision. It doesn't get any worse than that. And God coming through, but yet, shortly here, they find themselves right here at the edge of the promise that God has for them. And all of a sudden, their perspective is, you know what? Yeah, it's got some big fruit. And yes, this is probably the best land we've ever seen in our life. And yes, this is the promised land. But you know what? These people are big. Wow, this could be a big fight. I don't know if God can help us here. Look at the perspective they had. They had forgotten. And you know, I think this story, and I thought about the story, and I thought how it compares to what David went through in the book of Samuel. We see where David was there, and he was sent to deliver some cheese and crackers, man, to his brothers who were fighting in the army, Saul's army. And, of course, we see where the Philistines were there, and Goliath was out there yelling, hey, who defies the Lord, you know, who defies us, you know, we'll fight, come fight, send out your best guy. And here's Goliath, this monstrous of a man. And when they looked at him, no one said, man, there's no one who could defeat this guy. This is the biggest guy we've ever seen in our life. And they would run, they would hide, and they would get down and hide because they were so afraid of Goliath. Here's David, this little shepherd boy, showing up and saying, you know what? He's big, but you know what? That means he's just a bigger target. I can hit him. I mean, look at the difference in perspective. Saul's army was seeing the fear. They run and hide. David shows up and sees him and says, hey, what a big target. I can't miss that. I mean, different perspective. David knew who God was and what God would do through him. He had a different perspective. When he saw a giant, he knew that the bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall because God is going to help me through this. And he had a confidence. It's all about perspective. It's all how we look at things. Numbers 13:28 was very clear. It says, the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Man, they were living in fear. Look what they were looking at. They had a wrong perspective. How do we get a wrong perspective? Number one, we will be overwhelmed by the details. We get overwhelmed by details. We get overwhelmed by the details. Wow. Look at it. They said, man, they got this and that and that. Sometimes we look at details in our life, details will kill you. God's got a land he wants you to do. God's got a place he's wanting to take, and you look at details in your life, and man, it's overwhelming you. How are we going to do this? What's going to happen if God does this? What's going to happen if this happens? And we start looking at all the details, and God's saying, listen, just trust me. I've asked you to step out on faith. I've asked you to do this. And God says, now, but God, I got this, and I got that, and I got to do this. And we start looking at the details, and what happens many times, we'll step back instead of stepping forward. And God says, I want you to step forward. I got a promised land. I got a place for you and your family, for your life that I want you to live in. Trust me. But we get focused on the details. We get overwhelmed with the enormity of the assignment. We look at it and say, God, there's no way I can do this. God, you got a promised land for me, and God's asked me to do something, and we get overwhelmed by the enormity, how the size of it. And then we get overwhelmed by the obstacles that are in our way. We get overwhelmed by the obstacles that are in our way. How many know when you focus on the problems that that problem gets bigger than anything else? When you focus on your problems, I mean, if we took a pair of binoculars today and begin to focus on something, what happens? That thing enlarges, doesn't it? And when I take time to focus on my problems, that thing becomes the biggest thing in my life. Well, Pastor, I got listen, every one of us got problems here. Let's be honest. If we could go around and ask everybody, everyone here is going through probably something in their life at one time or another, or it's going through it right now. We all have things we're working through. But the difference is, are you going to allow yourself to focus on the problem or focus on the answer? Who is our source? Who is our God who supplies all our needs? Who is our God who will deliver us? Who is our God who can defeat any giant in our life? I focus on God. That's how I get to the promise. That God, you are calling me to step out. Yeah. When I was called to start Destiny Church, I looked out and saw all the things we didn't have. God, we don't have a building. We don't have any money. We don't have this. We don't have that. And if I wanted to, I could have let fear creep my life. And I've been still waiting to do what God had called me to do. But we stepped out on faith. I said, all right, God. Did my retirement, took a little bit that I had there, and said, we're going to put it into church. And I just hope that God, you're going to show up and do what you want. But God, you're calling us to do it. And we stepped out and did that. And, of course, we see what's happening now, because God is growing the church every week, and new people are coming in every week, and lives are being changed. And God is supplying. We've got a building, a great building. Wow, could you imagine not having a church building and saying, hey, I'm going to give you 20,000 square feet on Range Line Road a year later? I mean, what kind of testimony? We can't see that, though, can we? But if we always focus on our problem, we'll never see that. And I already see the place that God has got us next in my heart. I see where God's taking us. I see the thing that looks bigger than who we are. I see the vision as I was in Hawaii, and I attend services there of mega magnitude. And people, I see that for this four-state area. I see what God is wanting to do. And it's overwhelming when I think about, God, we got so much to do. We got so many obstacles that come in our way. But I refuse to focus on the obstacles. Instead, I'm going to focus on what God is and who he is. That my God is bigger than any problem that I have. God is bigger than the obstacle that I have. See, obstacles, what I'm called to do is to go around my obstacles. I'm called to leap, hurdle my obstacles. I'm not called to fight my obstacles. I'm not called to stand in front of them, look at this guy, look at, no, let God fight my battles. I can do it. It's right, you can't do it. But what? With God, it is possible. The second thing here we see that keeps us from possessing the land is the wrong attitude. The wrong attitude. Numbers 13 and 31 says this. If we pull it up, let's read it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. Wow. Look what it says here. A wrong attitude. There's three attitudes that will keep you from God's best. There's three attitudes I'm going to talk to you about this morning. This is so important. I hope that you're writing these down this morning on the back of your bulletin, taking notes, because these things will keep you out of the promise that God has for you in your life. The wrong attitude. And these attitudes are, number one, the attitude that chooses to focus on the negative. The attitude that chooses to focus on the negative. Here they come back with the biggest fruit they've ever had. It's the land of milk and honey. It's the most beautiful land we've ever seen. It's the land of abundance. This is where God wants us. All this great stuff. And then what do they focus on? But they choose to focus on the very thing that was the negative. They said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. Do you think Pharaoh's army was stronger than them? Obviously it was. And it says, listen to what it says. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land it had explored. Now here we have a million people, okay? We have a million plus people ready to possess the promise. He sends out 12 spies. 2 come back with a good report. 10 come back with a bad report. You know what? These guys are too big. Yeah, there's a lot of good there, but you know what? These guys are big. This is a big thing to overcome. And we see in one night, listen to how fast this goes. In one night, in one evening, the report from 10 guys spreads throughout a million people and changes the heart of a million people just like that. The heart changes overnight. Instead of possessing the land that God had for them, they walked in a negative report. They begin to focus on the negative and the spread. The second attitude is this. The attitude is, I can't. Look what verse 31 says, man. It says, I can't. Wow. I can't. I can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Look what it says. I can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Now, I have a 4-year-old that likes to say, I can't. And I'm working with him right now to say, son, that's not a part of our vocabulary. And he says, I can't. Every time I ask him to do something he didn't want to do, I can't. Don't say I can't. And he says, okay, my tummy hurts. One of the things I don't allow my children to say is I can't. I'm working with them. We can do all things, man. We can do all things in Christ. He strengthens us. You may not want to. You may not like it. But don't say you can't, because you can. And I'm pushing them, and I'm teaching them to get that out of their vocabulary. I'm working with my 4-year-old on doing this. But how many know that's all right with the 4-year-old, but some of us are 40 and still saying I can't. I can't. I can't go where God wants me to go. I can't do what God wants me to do. I can't do this. I can't. Yes, you can. But if all you say is you can't, you never will. Look what they did. They said, we can't. That word, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than us. Even though God had proven himself time and time and time again to them, what he could do through them and for them, they still said, we can't. We can't. And look how it affected the rest of the people. Their attitude began to change overnight. And attitude changed to where they, overnight, their attitude changed where they said, you know what, no longer can we go possess that land. We got to go back. We got to get out of here. And number 3, the third attitude I want to talk about is you choose to focus on me. When you have a negative attitude and you say, I can't, and then what you choose to focus on me. Verse 41 was very clear about this. We choose to focus on ourselves and talk about what we can't do, what we can do, and what we can't do. God, through God, what can we do? What can we do through God? All things. What can we do through God? What can I do through God? I can do all things through God who strengthens me. We've got to get this word out of focus upon me and my problem and all about me. We'll never get anywhere. We'll never possess the land that God has for me. I'm always worried about my problem. Always worry about what I'm going through and say, listen, we got to get our focus off ourselves and realize that God has taken us to a promised land. There's a focus that God has for us. And yeah, you have problems, but begin to serve somebody else. Begin to put your attention somewhere else. Don't focus on your problem. Help somebody else with their problem and see if God doesn't help you with your problem. Say, God, all right, I can't take care of this problem by myself. God, you're going to take care of it. And so you take care of this problem, God, and I'm going to help others along the way. I'm going to do the work of the ministry. Change your attitude. Listen, I can't choose my problems. You know that? I cannot choose my problems. And some of you here today need to realize this. You cannot choose your problems. Problems are going to come up every day. Circumstances are going to happen in our life. This is the world we live in. Problems are going to arise. I cannot choose some of the problems I've went through. Some of you today, you can't choose some of the pain you went through. You can't choose some of the things that happened against you or to you. But you can choose your attitude. One of the things I can choose is my attitude. One of the things you can choose is your attitude. How are you going to focus? What are you going to do? I choose to believe in the Lord. I choose to believe he's got a place for me. I choose not to focus on the negative, but I choose to focus on the positive. As I focus on that, knowing that God is delivering me, God is taking me to a new place. They had a wrong perspective, they had a wrong attitude, they had a wrong communication. Numbers 14. Let's read what it says in Numbers 14 and 41. And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress against the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed." What had happened here? They had rose up and they, early in the morning. Verse 40. Let me back up. Verse 40. It says, "And they rose up early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, 'Here we are. We will go up to a place where the Lord was promised for us, for we have sinned.'" And they're talking about leaving here, and they're talking about going ahead and going on out. And here God had already told them, "Listen, you're not going to, because of your negative talk and because of what you're saying here." Actually, God wanted to smite them all off the place at the end. A planet. God said, "Listen, Moses, I'll start you a new race here, new people." And God said, "Hey, I'm going to get rid of my whole thing, Moses." And Moses said, "God, you can't do that. If you do that, then how are we going to testify about how you delivered us? That you delivered them and bring them out here and kill them? God, that doesn't make sense." All right, God. You know, isn't that amazing that Moses is able to rationalize with God there? God's losing his temper basically with us, and he's saying, "Listen, I'm going to wipe these people off the place. The face of the planet, man. I've done all these things. They still are not believing." He's getting very upset. But Moses steps in and says, "God, let's work through them." He says, "All right, Moses, I'll work through them. But these guys who brought back the bad report, them and their generation, they will not inherit the promise. They will not inherit the promise." And what would happen there? We come back and they start communicating. "We can't do this. We can't do this." And what happens? They overnight, they change the face of the camp. The camp went from, "We're going to possess the land that God has for us, so we can't do it. Let's go back. We can't do it. Let's do something different." And we see where the communication broke down. They had wrong communication. It's just saying "we can" to each other and saying, "Yeah, they're big, but God, he delivers out so much, he'll deliver us out even more. He'll do this for us." We see them communicating. They have wrong communication. They begin to gossip. They begin to have a bad report. "Do you know what happened over there?" We see where they're gossiping with each other and talking about how big the guys were, and "We can't do this, and Moses has brought us out here to die, and man, we should choose a new leader." And we said, one night, a million people turned by the bad report. I mean, they had some wrong communication going on. That's why it's so important that we continue to be positive when we speak. When it comes to the work of the Lord especially, we speak, "We can, we will. Through God, all things are possible." And we never allow, we don't have that spirit here, thank God, and we're going to keep it out of here because we're not going to allow negative thoughts to come here. We're not going to allow negative words to come because we have a goal. We have a plan that God has for us. We have a destiny that God has destined for us to be and to live in. And we're going to continue to do that as we don't allow bad communication. And the last thing here, D, don't allow a bad response. They had a bad response. We see in 14, 41, and 45, well, they had a bad response. I said, "All right, if we can't do it this way, we're going to do it ourselves, Moses. We'll choose a new leader, and we're going to do our own thing." And Moses is like, "Hey, if you do that, you're going to die. Who cares?" And the word of God says, well, they got up and did that. And, of course, they went out and got ran out of camp. The enemies come and defeated them because they decided to do their own thing because they didn't like the gospel they heard. They didn't like the response. They didn't want to do it, so they had a wrong response. Instead of being obedient to God, instead of asking God to forgive them for their heart, for hardening their heart and for being doubtful, they said, "You know what? Forget that. We're just going to do our own thing." And it cost many of them their lives right at the end of there. Listen, you trade a land of abundance for a land of wilderness. They traded a land of abundance for a wilderness of adversity. Let me say it again. They traded a land of abundance for a wilderness of adversity. All because of their attitude. Don't miss the spiral here that we see taken in the scripture. Look what it says here as we close. Don't miss the downward spiral. It says here, a regressive cycle, a wrong perspective leads to a wrong attitude, which brings about a wrong communication that results in a wrong response. See the cycle here. It all starts with perspective, how we see things. It starts with our attitude. It starts with how we communicate to each other. And it starts with our response to God. These things, when we get one thing out of whack, it can start off a chain reaction in our life. So many of us today, we have a place that God has for us in our marriage, in our families, our personal walk with God, in ministry, in a place that he wants us to live. It's a promised land, a destiny that he has for us. He has a breakthrough many times in our life that he wants to take us through to new ground. And we get right to the edge of that, and we get right there, and we'll say, "You know what? God, I know. I see it. I see where you want to take me. God, I'm so close. I can almost touch it. But God, if I do that, what's going to happen about this? What's my family going to think? How's this going to affect my finances? What's my boss going to think? What's my wife?" Now, all these things that go through our mind, and we look at all the obstacles, and God's saying, "Trust me. Trust me. Be dependent upon me. See, enjoying God's best, it's your choice. Possessing or retreating, it's a choice you got to make. I want to say to you today that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to possess. I'm inviting you and your family and your life. Say, you know what? I want to possess. I want to possess the destiny that God has for me and my family, for my life. I want to possess that destiny. I'm not going to retreat. And some of you have been so close over the past. You've been so close where you've seen it. Man, you can almost taste it. But you just found yourself going back. And today, the question is, are you going to possess or are you going to retreat? Let's bow our heads. This morning, as we bow our heads in closing, I want to ask this question to you. If you're here and say, Pastor Gene, you're speaking a lot of things this morning about where I'm going through. But some of you this morning may be deeper than just even possessing and retreating. It has to do with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That you have not given your heart to him. And you say, you know what? Before I can even think about possessing ground, I've got to first of all give my heart to God. Before I can even think about walking in my destiny, I've got to ask God to forgive me my sins and walk in a right relationship with him and accept Jesus Christ in my heart. No one's looking today but me, and I won't embarrass you. Before we go any further today, I want to make sure you have that chance today. If you're here, you say, you know what? I want God's love. I want God's love in my life. I see where he loves me, and he's been passionately pursuing me all my life, and I've ran from him. But as you were talking about running to him today, I want to learn what it means to run to God. And I want to take that first step by asking him to be Lord of my life and asking him to my heart today. If no one's looking but me, if you're here today, say, I want to pray that prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, but can you raise your hand and say that to me? I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. No one's looking at me. Can you raise it? Thank you. Anybody else today? Anybody else say that's me? Before we go any further today, let's pray this prayer. I want us to do this morning. There's someone who raised their hands this morning and said they want to pray this prayer, so I want you to pray this prayer after me. Let's all pray together. Say, Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me my sins. Come into my life. I give you my sin. I give you my hurts. I give you my disappointments. I give you everything I am. I accept your forgiveness today. Be Lord of my life. I confess you as the living God. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it from your heart, you know the faith of God is coming alive in your heart. Being a Christian is more than just a prayer, though. It's also a lifestyle that he asks us to live, which means that we begin to turn away from the person we was, the sin we used to do. We begin to try to walk toward him. Doesn't mean we doesn't make mistakes along the way, but it means we're pursuing God. No longer are we going to run from him, but now we begin to pursue him and live for him. Second question I have today in closing is this. Are you here today? Say, Pastor Gene, I've allowed myself to be in a place of retreating. I get right to the edge of breakthrough. I get right to the edge of promise, and I've allowed maybe my negative thoughts. I've allowed to be focused on the problem, the obstacles. And today as you're talking, I realize that's me. Boy, I've been right there. I get too focused on the negative. I get too focused on the problem. And today I want to stop focusing upon the problem, upon the obstacle, and I want to focus upon the source, the answer, and that's Jesus. If God's speaking to you today and you say, that's me, can you raise your hand? No one's looking but me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Silver. Anybody else says, that's me. Thank you. Yes. We're going to enjoy God's best. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray for you in closing. This morning I'm going to say a prayer of closing over you, especially those who raised their hands today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are here today, Lord, because of you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which brings freedom, which brings life. And God, you have a best place for us to live. You have this place, God, so you have a promise that you have for every one of us to live in. But God, we've admitted today that, God, we've had some wrong attitudes, or we focused upon the problems, or we focused upon the obstacles instead of focused upon the answer, and that's you. And God, we are not going to allow ourselves to retreat any longer. But today, by raising our hands, we're saying, God, we're going to trust in you. We're going to go forward in you, God. God, putting our faith in you, putting our hope in you. And God, you're going to direct us. God, you're going to lead us, and God, we're going to possess new ground for ourselves and for our family and for the kingdom of God. God, we're not going to live people who are always failing, but God, we're going to be people who have breakthroughs, spiritual breakthroughs in our life, God, walking in the promised land, a land of abundance that you have for us, a land of prosperity that you have for us, God. So we say yes to you and your word today. God, we believe you today, God. We come against every negative spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, I pray those spirits that bring negative thoughts, that bring fear. God, your word says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak positive thoughts by the Holy Spirit, God. Today, may your spirit encourage. God, we are not going to succumb, God, to negative thoughts any longer. But God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we're going to walk people empowered by you, full of hope, full of peace, full of direction. God, knowing that you are directing our footsteps. If you believe it today, say amen. Amen. God bless you today. You walk in that promise this week. We say, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Don't forget to grab some Thanksgiving food this week and bring it back with you next week. Shake a hand before you leave. Hug a neck before you leave. And tell them it's good to see you.